Wisconsin is going to the Rose Bowl for the first time since 2012, and we are going to be all over it here on Locked On Badgers. You are locked in to Locked On Badgers Monday following the Big Ten Championship. I drove like 11 hours this weekend to and from Indy, and I can't wait to give you, you know, everything I saw, did, you know, heard, and just some different sights and sounds from Indy, and then my takes on the game and the tale of two halves that happened at Lucas Oil Stadium, because, boy, I don't know if I've ever seen, you know, a big game like that be so different. I mean, just look like a completely different football game in the two halves. I mean, it was about as different as it could possibly get. You know, it was just Wisconsin dominance, and then everything fell apart after halftime. We'll get into it. My name's Asher Law. I'm the sports director here at WSUM 91.7 FM Madison. I'm also a contributor at Rivals.com, Badger Blitz for Wisconsin Rivals. And I'm a play-by-play broadcaster who was at the Big Ten Championship game. You know, it was kind of a tough sight line for us because, like, you know, student radio, they don't exactly give us the number one choice of everything. I think Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt and, you know, national radio and, you know, the legend Matt LaPay, I think they get a little bit more, you know, choice when it comes to where their box is going to be. So we were a little off to the side, hard to see sometimes, but boy, was it an awesome experience, you know, being in that environment inside that stadium. And it was basically 80-20 Ohio State fans, if I'm being honest. So it was really like a road game for Wisconsin. And the way it started, let's just start with it right now. We're talking Big Ten Championship at the beginning. We'll get into the Rose Bowl stuff. We'll get into, did Wisconsin deserve it? And we'll get into a big win in basketball at the very end of this show, a game where this Wisconsin basketball team looked as good as they have all year. You know, that game, this Indiana game that Wisconsin won by 30 this past Saturday before the Big Ten Championship, and Marquette, those are the two games that this Wisconsin team has looked really, really good in. But right now, Wisconsin loses 34-21. We got to talk Big Ten Championship right now. And, you know, everything I saw, all the takes, here we go. So, the first drive of the game, and I said this on the show all week, that Wisconsin is not built to play from behind. And playing from behind in Columbus was basically the doom. You know, that was it for Wisconsin. There's no way this team can play from behind against a team like Ohio State with all the five-star talent, with all the, you know, accolades, with the team that just runs people out of the building. And, you know, that first drive, it gave Wisconsin fans hope. And boy, did that hope continue for a while in this first half. So Jack Cohn on that first drive makes a 9-yard run on 3rd and 7, and he was doing it with his legs all first half. 2 rushing touchdowns. Of course, you remember the fantastic call by Coach Crist and the sideline to have Jack Cohn keep the football in the second quarter, and it turned in to a Jack Cohn rushing touchdown, his first since the Michigan game where he had 2. And it was a 14-yard burst in the beginning of that second quarter that gave Wisconsin a 14-0 lead. Back to that first drive, though, Cohn does it with his legs on 3rd and 7, and then Jonathan Taylor does the rest. But, boy, credit the boys up front. No David Mormon. He was out on the offensive line for Wisconsin, out in this game. Should be back and should be good to go for the Rose Bowl. But credit Cole Van Landen, credit Tyler Biadasz for opening up a hole for Jonathan Taylor where he really, you know, obviously he had some work to do, but the hole was sizable. If you look at that 44-yard run, excuse me, to open the game, open the scoring, and he really, you know, he was set up very, very well by a team and a line that got absolutely demolished by Chase Young and this Ohio State defensive line, defensive front. So, fantastic way to set the tone of this game, to give Wisconsin a lead, which they had to have, right? And Jonathan Taylor, of course, historically struggles so much against Ohio State in just 2 meetings. Only 52 yards in the entire game when he played them in Columbus on the ground, and 44 just like that on a single burst. So a perfect way to start the game. Perfect way to start the game. And then credit this defense in the first half. And I'm not going to make, you know, what ifs, and, you know, I'm not going to play that game. But Chris Orr, head injury in the second quarter. Noah Burks, goes out in the second quarter. Garrett Rand was shaken up, who stayed in the game, but he was shaken up. I mean, this defense lost a lot going from the first half to the second half. It's not entirely shocking that Ohio State did what they did to the defense in the second half. And, you know, it's not completely obviously on losing those two guys, but losing Chris Horn, Noah Burks has something to do with it. Of course, the talent of Justin Fields, that's not, you know, I'm not going to, don't get me wrong here. Like, the talent of Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins, Olave, Victor, and K.J. Hill, who really just dirtied up Wisconsin's corners. Cesar Williams really had a tough day after such a great game against Minnesota. You know, Cesar Williams really struggled. And obviously, let's give all the credit to Ohio State, just how good they are, and the resiliency that showed in a moment they'd never been in, you know, down 14. They had not been past a deficit of six all year. That was the biggest deficit they'd faced the entire season. Six. And Wisconsin had them down 14 at halftime. So, of course, Jack Cohn making plays he needs to make. Quintez Cephas made possibly the catch of the season, and it was pass interference anyway on the defense, and Cephas came down with it in between two Ohio State defenders right inside the one-yard line that set up a Jack Cohn sneak. And that was after a Jonathan Taylor big, big run that actually set up that drive at the end of the half. A 45-yard run from Taylor with less than a minute on the clock set up that catch for Cephas, set up the QB sneak. Wisconsin has all the momentum heading in to halftime. Why? Why do they have all the momentum? Because they were dialing up the right calls. It was not conservative. You know, mixing it up, trusting your best player, Jonathan Taylor, but also mixing it up a healthy amount. Looking to Quintez Cephas, using him in the offense as a complete focal point of this offense, a player that is an NFL receiver, no doubt about it. He is a Sunday receiver. I've said it before. I'll say it again on this show, and you saw it again in Indy. A guy that is playing on Sundays and should be used in this offense very, very heavily was utilized in that first half. So everything's going right for Wisconsin from an offensive standpoint. From a defensive standpoint, they had, you know, they'd allowed 75 rushing yards to J.K. Dobbins at halftime, but they'd really keyed in on Justin Fields and his ability to move in the pocket. And yes, he was rolling out because of Wisconsin pressure, but he wasn't taking off. And Wisconsin did a great job of keeping him from busting off those 10, 15-yard runs for first downs that he's had so often this year. And the secondary was playing well in that first half, and that's where things really shifted in the second half. The secondary got completely demolished by this passing game for Ohio State, not to mention J.K. Dobbins started to roll. Not that he wasn't rolling already a little bit in that first half, had a touchdown, had 75 yards, but, I mean, he really started to turn it on. And, man, when this team turns it on, and by the way, I just want to say, it is atrocious that this team, Ohio State, is not the number one team in the college football playoff. It's awful. It's SEC bias is what it is. This team just beat, in three consecutive weeks, top 10 football teams. But they didn't just beat them. They beat them bad. They beat Michigan so bad. And also, I want to say this, and I'm going to talk about this in a sec when we talk Rose Bowl, you know, in our second segment, but losing margin is not created equal. You know, I don't think you can just look at a score and say, oh, they lost by 11, oh, they lost by 5, you know, that was, but, so obviously losing by 5 is a lot better. I don't think that's how it exactly works. You have to watch a game, and you have to see, you know, did this team ever have a chance of winning this game? Was this team, you know, playing to the level of the Ohio State Buckeyes? And I think we have not seen all year a team play to the level of Ohio State as well as Wisconsin did. Obviously in that first half. I mean, we've never seen a team do that to Ohio State this year, obviously. But when you look at the game in total, and yes, the second half was a disaster. We'll talk about it. We have to talk about it, unfortunately. But we've not seen a team in the trenches play with Ohio State like our Wisconsin Badgers did on Saturday, and that's something to be proud of. Yes, the talent's there. Yes, K.J. Hill, Justin Fields turned it on. Yes, the football could not be moved an inch in the second half by this Wisconsin offense. Yes, there were some questionable coaching decisions in the second half. Yes, some bad play calling. But this team hung tough, and this team deserves to be in Pasadena. More on why coming right up. If you're listening on Spotify right now, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast this year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live. And, of course, tag us on Twitter at ALO33 at Locked On Badgers and at any Twitter account or show host's Twitter that you are following, you are listening to. And we will be sure to share it and retweet it. So hit us up, Spotify Wrapped, and let your favorite Locked On podcasts and hosts know that you've been listening to them this year. So what changed in the second half? A lot, first of all. By the way, I walked out at halftime to get some, you know, get a little brownies, little cookies, whatever. You know, they got some stuff. Got some stuff out for us. Even though we're student radio, we still get all the benefits, all the beautiful food they put out for us, the Big Ten Championship, all the drinks, all that. So, you know, nice hospitality there at Lucas Oil. I enjoyed it. And I walked out, and it was almost like a stunned. I was stunned, first of all, when it's 21-7. Wisconsin all of a sudden looks like, wait, are we talking playoff here? Like, we saw, I talked about it on Friday on the show, but we saw basically everything that had to happen up until the Wisconsin game happen for Wisconsin to have a shot at the playoff. Outside, of course, Virginia beating Clemson would have been big had Wisconsin won that game at Ohio State. And people have been saying, I've read on Twitter that college football analysts think that Wisconsin wins that game by 10, 14 points at the end of it. This Badger team's in the playoff, which is crazy to think about at halftime. You know, we walk into this game not expecting that at all, not expecting it the way it happened in that first half. It was not a fluke. It was Wisconsin taking it to Ohio State on both lines of scrimmage, taking it to them in a way that nobody has all year. So what changed? That first drive, and I was talking to a few media people about this at halftime, and they told me, and they're absolutely right, I want to give them credit because this is not my take, but this is completely on the money. That first drive was going to decide everything. That first Ohio State drive of the second half was going to decide everything for how this game was going to go. And how did that first drive go? Ohio State did what they do. And, you know, Wisconsin had a chance. And this was the play that shifted everything. Cesar Williams was beat. And it started a trend in that third quarter, let me say. But 3rd and 7 from the Ohio State 28, Justin Fields finds Chris Olave for 50 yards on the catch and run to the Wisconsin 22. Two plays later, Jeremy Rucker, tight end, hauls in pass that was a little in front of him. He actually had to reach out, make a great play on it, and haul it in. Ohio State scored in 1:39. And all of a sudden, everything changes. Not to mention Wisconsin in the second half and in the game, by the way, but in the second half specifically, this is the area where everything went wrong for Wisconsin, and it's been an area of concern for a lot of the year, and that's special teams. Anthony Lotti drops a punt, and by the way, go back and watch that play. Go back and watch the Anthony Lotti drop punt. Look at the right side of the Wisconsin formation. Adam Krumholtz, backup wide receiver, special teamer, was wide open. And a friend said to me in the box, who was working the game for student radio with me, that he thought he saw Krumholtz tap his head, which is a sign sometimes for indicating a fake. And there was acres in front of him. So was Lotti thinking throw there, or was he thinking punt? I'm not going to say for sure, and I couldn't ask him, but I'd love to get that information for you if I can. I think he was thinking punt, but I think it was in his mind that Krumholtz was open and that they had indicated something. A defensive back for Ohio State on special teams dropped back a little bit on Krumholtz as the play developed, and I think it shook Lotti a little bit maybe. So I think there was something more to that play than just Lottie's thinking punt and he drops the football. So Lotti drops the football, and special teams, a disaster. Lotti drops it. Ohio State recovers. Defense actually does its job, holds them to three, but it's a four-point game now, and we are literally not even 5 minutes in to the third quarter. And from there on, you know, I sort of knew what was going to happen. I sort of knew. And a promising drive for Wisconsin actually after that ends in more special teams drama. Zach Hintz, I love him, but he missed a 48-yard field goal wide left, just hooked it left, had all the distance, of course, as he usually does, but sent it left, and Ohio State took the lead for good on the ensuing drive. You know, you go back to that 3rd-and-7, you go back to drop punts, you go back to missed field goals. At the end of the day, the Ohio State offense turned it on in a way that nobody else in the country can. That's why they're the number one team in the country. And, of course, Chris Orr and Noah Burks being out at the linebacker spot, that doesn't help. Chris Orr, you're tied for team leader in sacks, a guy that is emotionally a leader when you talk to him. I mean, nobody cares like Chris Orr. By the way, tweeted he's okay. I want to make that clear. Tweeted that he's all good, fully expecting to play in the Rose Bowl. And so let's talk Rose Bowl a little bit. Let's move on. A lot of things went wrong in that third quarter, and Wisconsin really didn't have a chance after that third quarter ended. But Wisconsin is headed to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. It's all good. It's okay. We get it. Ohio State's the best team in the country. They're going to win the national championship, in my opinion. Okay, fine. Wisconsin is headed to Pasadena for the first time since 2012 for a rematch with the Oregon Ducks. I can't wait. And the debate, of course, was Penn State or Wisconsin. At halftime, there was no debate. It was obvious. But when you lose the second half 24-0, all of a sudden, debate is going to start. And debate did start between Penn State and Wisconsin fans on Twitter. And here's my thing. I think it was, honestly, not too hard to see that after that game against Ohio State, where Wisconsin covers the spread, has a 14-point lead at halftime, no matter how the second half goes, and had already come into that game ranked 8, Penn State ranked 10. And if you have a problem with that, I mean, that's a different conversation, right? I mean, if you have a problem with where they were ranked before this game, I'll talk about that in a sec, and I still stand by Wisconsin being ranked ahead of Penn State going into this game. But you cannot drop Wisconsin. You can't punish them for playing a Big Ten championship game and playing it to a better level than I think most people were expecting it to be played at. If they go out and lay a dud, I mean like a 40-point loss, which, hey, could have happened given how good this Ohio State team is if Wisconsin came and played a very, very poor game. But they didn't do that. They did not lay a dud. In fact, they played the best half of football they've played all year. And Wisconsin at their best did something to Ohio State in that first half that Penn State could never have done at their ultimate maximum best and at Ohio State's worst. That is, take it to the Buckeyes. Yes, it was only a half, but you can't punish them for playing a game and playing half of it to a level they haven't played all season, outside of maybe that Minnesota game, the last three quarters of that Minnesota game, into the two quarters. That was the best five quarters of football, three quarters of Minnesota, two quarters of the Big Ten championship that we've seen from Wisconsin all year. The Michigan game, I wouldn't even put in that category. So I think it's ridiculous to even bring up the conversation of dropping Wisconsin after the Ohio State performance. It's ridiculous. You can't punish them for playing a game, playing better than Vegas expected, so better than most stats expected them to play, of course, especially for a half. You can't drop them for that. You just can't do it against the team that's the favorite to win the national championship right alongside LSU. So, I don't think that's the argument. I don't think that is an argument. I don't think that's one that can be brought up. The argument that can be brought up is where should these two teams have been ranked before this game? And that's a fair argument. So, let's look at it right now. Penn State, 2 losses. At Minnesota and at Ohio State. The 11-point loss to Ohio State, I watched that game. That game wasn't close. Was it a three-point game at the end of the third quarter, near the end of the third quarter? Yeah, it was. It was actually a four-point game at the end of the third, a third quarter that Penn State won because Ohio State got sloppy and went to sleep because the game was over. They were up 21-0. The game was over. Penn State could have played perfect football, and they nearly did. The game was over at halftime. Yes, Penn State came back. Yes, Penn State had the football down three, you know, or down four at some point at the end of the third quarter there. But the game was over at halftime. You never watched that game, and I watched literally the whole game and had a thought in your mind that Penn State could win this football game. Never, not for a single moment, did I look at that game, watch it with the eye test, and say Penn State could win that football game. At halftime of the Big Ten Championship game, you better believe I was saying Wisconsin has a shot to win this football game, a cautious shot to win this football game. That's just how good Ohio State is. You know, up 14, you're going to still be obviously cautious for good reason. Look what happened in that second half. But that game was never close. Then you look at the Minnesota game. Sean Clifford, you know, lays an egg, three picks. A game, by the way, that also wasn't as close as the score indicated. Penn State were very lucky to be in the position they were in at the end of the game, having a chance to win it, because they did not play well at all. They were down 11 at halftime. They came back in the fourth quarter. They were down two scores in the fourth quarter, came all the way back, did have a chance to win it on a drive that ended up coming up short. So those are your two losses. Wisconsin, of course, we're going to point to the Illinois game. Of course. It's the worst loss that either of the two teams has. Yes, it is. Can't disagree with that at all. Then you have a loss at Ohio State that was actually a little bit closer than the score may have shown, but still was a blowout loss. 31-point loss in the end. But how different was that from the 11-point loss? Not a 20-point difference. The 11-point loss Penn State had, I don't think it was a 20-point difference. I still think the loss, of course, that Penn State had there, much better loss, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't as crazy of a difference as everyone thinks it was. Neither of those teams had a chance of winning in Columbus. And then Wisconsin dominates Minnesota, absolutely destroys them. Destroys them. Wisconsin dominates Michigan, a team Penn State beat by 7 at the very, very, very end of the game on a drop in the end zone at home. Michigan should have tied that game at the end of the game. I think the number one point here, though, to separate Wisconsin and Penn State is at their best, Wisconsin is better than Penn State's best. At these two teams, at the best they've played this year, at the highest level we've seen them play, there's no way Penn State could do what Wisconsin did to Ohio State in that first half. Because it wasn't just about the scoreboard. It was about the way Wisconsin was barreling down on fantastic defensive line, on a great offensive line, and on a fantastic quarterback who is mobile in the pocket and able to make plays with his legs and arm. It was the way Wisconsin ran the ball down Ohio State's throats in the first half with the best running back in the country. It was the way Wisconsin beat Minnesota in every facet of the game, the play calling, the creativity, the offense, the electric, you know, big plays, the defense stepping up, making plays. That game was never close after the first quarter. When Wisconsin took the lead, the beginning of the third quarter, the game was over. On the road. And that's all come recently. Wisconsin's playing their best football right now. I think that matters. I think that Wisconsin's best is better than Penn State's best. And therefore, Wisconsin deserves to be in Pasadena as the overall better team. Their best is better than the Nittany Lions' best. Coming up, talking Wisconsin basketball, a huge win here at the end of the show to talk about Wisconsin's win over Indiana at home. And this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew, and this is an awesome product. Listen to this, guys. So you remember the days when you were just always ready to roll, ready to roll in the bedroom, ready to roll. You know what I'm saying? And your performance is, you know, taking a hit in recent years, maybe. But now, you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed back. You can get it back. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue, the blues. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Chewable. No pill swallowing. You literally just chew it. And you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready when an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. You know, you look like first half Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship. You won't look like second half. If you can benefit from more confidence where it really counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the U.S. of A., and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Best of all, there's no awkwardness, no pills, none of that. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners here on Locked On Badgers. Visit BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Promo code is CODE with brackets, CODE, all caps, CODE, to try it. Free brackets around the word CODE. So bracket, CODE, all caps, and another bracket. Try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. More on this game tomorrow, but I do want to get a little bit on it right now. Wisconsin and Indiana, 20-point win for the Badgers at home on Saturday to improve to 5-4, winning their first Big Ten game. And it was all about Kobe King, 24 points for Kobe King, 4 boards, an assist for the native of La Crosse, Wisconsin. And the way he was doing it when I was watching this game, off-ball movement. And you hear so many times a coach's moniker, playing off the ball in basketball is literally more important than playing on the ball. It matters more the way you move off of it, how you act off of it, the way you react to defenders off the ball. And Kobe King was doing a great job of that. They were really overplaying him, was Indiana. And with the Indiana has size and length, different players like, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, a great freshman, Justin Smith, very, very good player, good defender. Even, you know, Armand Franklin. These are guys that are good defenders in terms of their length. And they had a tendency to overplay a little bit, meaning they're really denying the basketball to Kobe King when he got it going. And Kobe King hit him for a few beautiful backdoor layups, and credit the passers as well, whether it was Trice, Davison. But, you know, hitting him with the backdoor, Kobe King read the overplay, and it was a great growth in his game to see his, you know, basketball IQ just growing before our eyes. Reading defenses, they're overplaying him. He just shifts backdoor real quick, and bang, it's a layup. Easy, easy, easy reaction to the overplay when they're in ball denial mode. Not to mention, his little one dribble pull-up is gorgeous. His boom 1-2, that's what I call it. So that's what coaches used to call it, actually. I'm not going to take credit for that. But you basically just slap that basketball one dribble. So either you put up a shot fake, you want to sweep through move, you're in triple threat, and you take a power dribble and then take a little 1-2 and get in rhythm, and that's what Kobe King does. He's a very good long two-maker, analytics nightmare, but Kobe King gets him in rhythm, and he knocks him down, and he was everywhere in Wisconsin's win. He was the biggest difference to me on the basketball court because he can create his own shot. Nate Reber's got his 20. He's the leading scorer. He's the best player overall on this team right now. But Kobe King was the difference, and he's a guy that, like I said, can create his own shot. Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. A Wisconsin player that can create his own shot on offense, please. Oh, please, 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 please. And Kobe King was that. And really, it's only King Davison sometimes, but a lot of the time this year hasn't been that way. And Reavers, who can really create everything for themselves when they want to get a bucket. Really, it's just King and Reavers right now. They can create everything for themselves. They don't rely on others. That is huge. Wisconsin needs both of those guys in form heading in to Big Ten play. As always, on Wisconsin, I will see you tomorrow. We're talking Rose Bowl, of course, and many, many other things, including Wisconsin basketball this week, right here on Locked On Badgers. Give us a follow at Locked On Badgers, and at ALO33 is my Twitter on Wisconsin.